S-D-P-P. The Steve Dangle Podcast with your hosts, Steve Dangle, Adam Wilde, and Jesse Blake.
Let's go!
A very special group of episodes. So on top of the normal podcast schedule that you're used to with the Steve Dangle Podcast, you're also going to get five reaction podcasts available now, obviously video and audio, and we're going to release these over the next 5 days, coinciding with All or Nothing on Amazon. So
these are bonus episodes.
That's right. These are all bonus episodes.
I didn't know I had to do more.
Yeah, you do.
Damn. And we're in it right now.
Where this is the first of five.
Well, now we're committed. Now we got to do it. It's All or Nothing.
Oh,
these are great. These are very good.
All right, now before you even talk about watching the first episode, I want to know, as my therapist says, I want to know how you feel. So you start the first episode, or you're about to start the first episode. What is the feeling that you have before you press play?
Well, there are no irrational fears. Every fear that you have heading into episode one is rational because you know how it ends. Sort of like a scary movie. Nothing ever goes perfectly fine.
Right.
And
you see where it could go well.
Yeah.
And then, oh no, the car runs out of gas.
Oh.
And there's that spooky house. We got to go to the spooky house to get gas.
Oh, now we got to walk 46 miles to the closest gas station. And yes, so there's very much that feeling.
Right.
So I liked the way that it started. Because it really showed, at very least, the Leafs organization has identified an issue here.
Hold on.
What?
It's not what I asked you. I asked how you felt.
Oh. Ready to be hurt again.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
There it is.
I knew, going into it, I knew that I was going to be happy no matter what happened. Watching the show, I knew I was going to be happy.
Why?
Because I'm going to get a look at a bunch of guys, hockey players, that I never see this up close and personal.
Right.
Like, I'm going to see, oh, this hockey player is talking candidly to me. He's not just sitting there in a Zoom call with Chris Johnston being like, you know, we didn't get our puck. We didn't get the puck out of the corner enough.
Got to win the battles.
We got to win the battles. Now I get to go watch Himes and Simmer. Didn't know those are their nicknames. I can see Himes and Simmer interact in the locker room. And just seeing that as a super fan of hockey, as everybody I assume watching this doc is, just that alone makes me happy. You know, it brings a little joy. I get to see this guy in his real element.
It sparks joy.
Yeah, it sparks joy.
Now, I'm asking you this, and Jess, you got to keep time on this because we're stuck on a 30-minute clock for each of these episodes.
All right.
It's got to be exactly 30 minutes.
We got 28 minutes to go.
28 minutes to go. Before, Steve foreshadowed something there that we will come back to time and time and time again.
Yes.
But what I loved at the beginning of this, when we start pressing play, is it immediately, as a non-Leaf fan, will put you in the seat of being a Leaf fan. Mm-hmm. They go through the numbers. 1967. What is it? 17 years since they won a playoff series.
Yeah. And like they tease some like pretty, like they show Jack Campbell crying, like in the first like couple minutes.
John Tavares and you know how he was on the ice after the Corey Perry accidental knee.
Yeah, there's so many. I feel like so much got lost in the end of the season. That you forget all the significant moments. And I mean, I don't think there's a moment from this past season I want to know more about than that. To have behind the scenes access to that and how uncomfortable I'm sure that's going to be. But then also like those little clips, the foreshadowing, the what is Rasmus Sandin doing behind the wheel of a race car? Like all these, I want to know about that.
Did you see, when you saw the house, you know that famous house in Toronto with all the Leafs gear out front, and they're the fans that are mentioned in. And by the way, Steve's in this several times.
Yeah, you're in the first like 90 seconds of
cool.
the series.
I was very surprised how. Oh wow! Oh, they wasted no time. Here I am.
But it's sort of perfect that you're up there with like that thing. And then actually, my girlfriend said to me, "Can we go see that house? Because I really want to see that house." And I think it's in the West End somewhere. But I, you know, you forget sometimes, as you said, Steve, the amount of boo, 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 like details that happened in that last playoff series that, you know, all we think about now is that they didn't win, but it's that road that got us there. And I think so we you know, this the whole thing starts, and they context being a Leaf fan. So if you're outside of Toronto, and
Arnett does a great job.
He's a great,
like, you have to get a Leaf fan to narrate this.
Yes.
Because he understands.
Yes.
It's one thing to just say the words and pretend like you understand. He gets it.
Right. And I think when there's, you know, as any good documentary does, they're setting up the main characters.
Right.
And who are the two main characters in this to you? In this entire series?
Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas.
Yep. They're the stars of the show.
And I like that. I like that for the reason that, you know, you see these guys, you know, what is it? Dubas does, what, 4 interviews a year?
If that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he does, like, it's like training camp, mid-season, after-season, and then, like, I don't know, free agency.
Yeah, July 1st.
Right?
Yeah.
Keith is in front of that camera all the time. And the thing, and you see this kind of come up later, you think about the bad losses they have, and he's got to go on camera and be composed. Mm-hmm. And you do get that sort of sense of, he probably wants to just say, screw it, throw everything in the air and walk out of the room.
Because he's
right?
He's a quiet interview, and right in the teaser, it's him tearing paint off the wall.
I fell in love with Sheldon Keefe during this series.
Really?
Like, it's unbelievable. He seems like such a passionate coach. And like, he's in the first episode, he says, like, I'm trying to establish Stanley Cup habits. Like, that's the quote there that's foreshadows the entire thing. It's he says he doesn't look at the results. Like, the Leafs, they come out on fire first 10 games of the season, but he sees it. He sees what's wrong with the offense.
And what
does
he see?
He sees them not being able to win games convincingly. Like, they get this lead, and then they allow the other team to come back, and it's never – they don't put it away ever. It's just kind of, hey, we're going to play this regular season hockey where we can outscore you. And he knows that's not going to work when the regular season is done, when the postseason comes.
And we can see that. We can see that, and the Leafs can see that. They're not stupid.
Yeah, but the players don't want to hear that. And he tries to just smash it into their brains because they don't want to hear, hey, you're winning the wrong way. No, Matthews is like, look at the scoreboard. Like, we're off to a hot start. We're first in the division. Mm-hmm. What do you mean we're not playing right? We won, you know? So Keith just identifying that, it was just seeing that. I'm like, oh, this guy gets it.
And it's about changing the mindset, which is why I like that the first player they really focused in on is a guy who they brought in to do just that with Joe Thornton.
Actually, the first guy's Wayne.
Chickens.
Oh, the first guy is the first guy. But go to the Joe part, because since you're on it, I mean.
Well, Joe, like, what I remember with Joe, sorry, it's hard to remember the exact order of everything. But with Joe, the fun he was having, even in practice, this offense is fun. This is, having the puck is fun. Scoring's fun.
That guy's a big personality.
Yes, but that's what he was there for. He's there to get everyone feeling great.
Loose.
What did you think of the scene of him in the car listening to Burke say that
they didn't need him?
That they didn't. They should have went to the grocery store and got something they needed instead of something just for fun. What did you think of that scene?
I remember talking about that exact interview on this show and thinking, I remember we said that, and I think at the time we all thought the Thornton thing was a good idea for the reason the Leafs brought him in, was that he was going to keep things loose. But listening, seeing him hear that and then just laughing about it, like, wow, that's one of those things where you think, you forget sometimes that, people are going to hear this.
Oh, you see that there was a mission the whole time, because I remember being like, oh, yeah, like, maybe he'll be, I don't know, he can help out on the power play and be like, I don't know, maybe fourth line center. And then we find out, nope, first line left wing.
Yeah.
Beg your actual pardon.
And he played well enough at the beginning. And obviously we can get into the injury in a bit. But there's a couple other guys in that. The first 10 minutes is really about establishing the fan perspective, which is, it's been a while. Then it's Dubas and Keefe talking about the kind of team they want to do. And then after that, it gets into three people. Obviously, they do a little bit of background on Sheldon Keefe and his playing career. And that's well documented. Go ahead.
And I just want to say, when Dubas and Keith, when they're doing their intro, and they're like, I wrote down the quote, because he said, I talk to him more than anyone in my life. And I wrote next to it, Adam and Steve. Because Adam, you especially. I was like, oh, Dubas, I get it. I understand that's, that where your work partner yes. is someone you see more than for the last 7 years, I've seen you more than like my family.
Yes.
Like legitimately, I've had more conversations with you than everybody in my life.
Yep.
I was like, Dubas and Keefe, I understand their relationship.
Yes.
So it was very nice to see that inside.
It's a, there's an, theirs is an athletic partnership. Ours is a creative partnership.
Right.
And you know, that's the thing is that like Jesse, I rely on heavily for just about everything. And I got that too. I felt yeah. like, I was like, man, I get it. Because there's certain people that you just click with and that's just it. And yeah. that's what it's always been with the three of us. And mm-hmm. Jesse and I obviously have had the radio thing as well for the longest time. And so when that is anyways, a really interesting point, Jesse. There, yeah. I love that. So then they get into Wayne Simmonds. And I love that they did this because it's the local angle. It's the kid coming home and he's not a kid anymore. He's our age. We grew up right. together.
Yeah.
But you know, the first thing they show is him dropping the gloves with Ben Chiarot in Montreal.
Which I called. Remember we were talking about like predicting what's going to be in the series? And the number one moment from game one of the series was not Riley's overtime winner. Because the game goes to overtime. And I remember sitting there watching episode one going, I don't remember who scored this goal. I had no idea who yeah. won it, but I remembered the Leafs were down 3-1 when Wayne Simmonds fought Ben Chiarot.
Right.
And that's, they had to highlight it because that was the story coming out of that game. That the guy they brought in for that exact reason
did it,
did his job perfectly, mm-hmm. and they ended up winning.
And yeah. everybody in the locker room loved it. That was
of
the
course
talk.
They did.
That's what everybody was saying. Simmer fought.
Yeah. I mean, imagine playing in the league, not having Wayne Simmonds on your team, and then you do. Imagine that feeling. It's one thing if you're new or a rookie or something, but you have to play against this guy. Oh, my God.
That's the thing.
Think
even
of what
now,
a chore playing against Wayne Simmonds.
Wayne Simmonds at his peak would have been the worst to go up against. But
and now he's on your team.
Yeah, but like even now, he's not a fun guy to play against.
No.
And later on in the documentary, you see Wayne Simmonds go... Like you see what it's actually like every day, game in, game out. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of intensity where, you know, you see it on Leafs Twitter from time to time. People are like, ah, he's superfluous. We're not really sure we need him. You do need a guy like that.
One thing I remember Sheldon Keefe saying at some point in the season, because remember Simmonds fractures his wrist. And what he said he noticed the difference was with him out of the lineup was how quiet the bench was.
Interesting.
He makes it loud.
Yeah.
He makes it loud and he's always talking. And he, Thornton is, it's that you don't see too much interaction between the two, but Thornton is very clearly brought in to be good cop. Mm-hmm. He's loosey-goosey good cop. Simmonds is brought in to give you a kick in the ass when you need it. He's the bad cop.
I like that.
Yeah,
and it's a shame that they both spent time on IR.
Yeah.
Almost right away.
Because Simmonds right. was unbelievable at the beginning, and then he came back, and it just never materialized again. And same with Thornton.
Mm-hmm.
And
the injury like, freak bug injuries. Was, yeah. Hey, are you clicking? Time for you to go.
Yeah.
Hey, are you heating up? Time for you to go.
100%. And so then they get into the montage with Shanny. And they show some of his... Detroit stuff, because that was really when Shanahan was at his peak. I mean, he had some great years in New Jersey, but no one remembers because New Jersey wasn't very good. It was the Christmas tree jersey.
People forget what an animal he was.
He was.
That stat, the only player in NHL history with 600-plus goals yeah. and 2,000-plus penalty minutes.
Yeah, and they show animal. Him go to the box with a bleeding nose and like...
And the beard.
And the beard.
the Shanny beard.
Wild. Animal. Absolutely wild. And it's so funny because every time you see Brendan Shanahan now, he's like this... calm, collected CEO of a man. Mm-hmm. But boy, when he was, and I honestly turned to my girlfriend at that point and I said, God, isn't he just the guy they need?
Oh yeah.
Like, could he not find it in his heart to get back on the treadmill and get on the ice?
Oh, you mean on the
Shanny,
ice?
Yeah.
I thought you meant to lead the team.
Can he just put the skates back on a little bit?
I thought you meant too.
Yeah, I thought you meant as a leader.
Oh, no. I want him to get on the ice and play. Because that montage that they put together gets you so hyped up. Like, right. imagine how much fun it was to be a Detroit Red Wings fan at the end of the 90s.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my God. And that's, he's not even, like, he's one of the best players. Fedorov, Yzerman, Lidstrom, Larionov. Who else you want to name? It was unbelievable.
That's the thing with his legacy is so interesting because I think of him as an extremely good player, mm-hmm. but I don't think of him in that tier. And what screws it up is because he was on those Red Wings teams.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's not because he wasn't in that tier. He absolutely was.
He was, right? But he also played with the best players of all time.
Yes. Yeah.
Yzerman, top 10 scorer of all time. A tremendous leader. All those cups. Fedorov didn't quite have the same longevity, but he won a Hart Trophy. And he was the leader of the Russian Five. And just what a murderer's row of players.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
And you got to deal with all those guys on a night in, night out basis, and hopping over the boards once they're done as Shanahan. Are you friggin' kidding me?
Oh, that'd be painful.
That's, yeah. Again, that's a guy you don't want to play against.
No.
And so, about 20 minutes in, after they lose the game to the Oilers, mm-hmm. opening night, right? They lose that.
Yeah, yeah.
The one thing that struck me above all else that was important is how ugly Kyle Dubas's office is.
What? That's what you're focusing on?
That's exactly what my wife said.
I wanted to talk about Austin calling out his head coach.
He's the ugliest office.
Austin Matthews calls out his head coach, and you go, you know, that guy's office. What?
Bro, that's what I thought. I'm like, is this? Look, okay, you see Shanahan's office, and it's painted. It's got this masculine, dark brown, black color, and he's got his father framed. And yeah. Then Dubas, it's like every bathroom at a Scarborough hockey rink. Like, it's like, you know what? I'll take the room with the cinder blocks, please. Like, it's unbelievable.
No exposed brick to be seen out of the wild.
And I guess that's in the Master, is it the Ford Performance Center now?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought it was fine.
No, it is fine, but they're a $1.5 billion organization or whatever it is. Okay. And his office is just a room.
Yeah, it's like, here you go, and here's your IKEA desk, sir.
What did you guys
sit on a diamond throne?
Yeah,
what did you guys, GM of the Leafs.
100%.
What did you think of his cap-friendly chart that he keeps on the wall?
With the magnets?
The magnets of all the players cool. and the little salary caps and where they're playing?
The inclusion of that is exactly the sort of thing I wanted to see out of this documentary. In the very first bit of this 5-episode piece, we'll call it, I saw something in that little cap-friendly board that made me go, am I supposed to be seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
I really...
They did this, though, right? That's why it's so cool.
And the one thing that made me nervous is Sheldon Keefe going, okay, so how does this work, like, with the taxi squad? And Dubas going, this is how it works, I think. And I'm like, you think?
And then Pritt was there, right? And he's like, well, this is how it works.
Yes.
Thankfully, yes. They have that guy in the room.
Sheldon goes, Kyle, can I do this? Brandon, can we do this? Yes, we can do this.
Also, that is the first appearance. Actually, no, that's not fair. The first 5 minutes, I believe, you get a first look at what is a stellar collection of sweaters and cardigans by Kyle Dubas.
Oh.
I don't, if you see a cardigan, take a shot.
Things you guys are focusing on.
He's got glasses to match the cardigans. I'm like, that. Those glasses match
the
cardigans.
They spent the office budget on cardigans.
That makes sense.
They are warm and comfortable. There's no question.
What did you think of Austin Matthews calling out?
I'm sorry, but Keith, we need to talk more about right.
He says that they played McDavid incorrectly, essentially.
He said they played too defensive.
There you go. That was
They were too worried about shutting those two, McDavid and Drysdale, down to win the game and play offensive, right?
And then Keith goes to Dubas and is like, Austin, he said this stuff in the media. I'm upset.
he went full. And so what's interesting about that is, you know, we would make nothing of that quote.
Yeah.
When we talk about that on the air on this show, we wouldn't think much about that quote. And our biggest complaint is always, man, these guys don't say anything.
Well, so and I wouldn't have even looked at that as a coaching decision. I would have looked at that as a necessity. It's Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course you played defensive with him
right.
on the ice.
Right. So then Dubas, we meet in Dubas's ugly office, which is objectively ugly with the magnets. Come on, we could paint it a different color. The office isn't great. And so then they have this conversation. And what I loved about Keefe is he goes up on ice and sort of addresses it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets in front of the whole team and he goes, I know some of you are saying. And if I already addressed it with Austin, anybody else? And I was like, oh.
It was so what? High school teacher of him, and I loved it.
I mean, I think you have to address that, right? You can't let that fester.
Oh. There was a little bit of there was a little bit of Private Pile gets caught with the donut, so everyone has to do push-ups.
Yes.
Like it's that's what he was kind of threatening in that moment. But something I've talked about in the past mm-hmm. is early on in a relationship, it's important to establish precedence.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. If someone does something that annoys you for 6 months mm-hmm. and you tell them 6 months in, you blow up at them. Oh, you always do this and it annoys me. You know whose fault it is? Yours.
Because you didn't tell them who you were.
Now, Austin and Sheldon have known each other for quite some time now, but it all resets when the season begins.
New players on the team.
New players on the team. That is a coach establishing precedence. This will not stand. You're looking at offense and defense as two different things. We don't do that here. Stanley Cup winning habits do not, you don't go on the ice, do one, and then the next time you go on the ice and do the other. You do one and it leads to the other. Right?
And
that's what he's trying to say.
And here's the thing. Do you disagree with anything he says?
Sheldon?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. No, he's 100% right. And it was, to me, it was an example of Austin's a killer. Like, he's unbelievable out there. He's one of the best players in the league. But that's a young quote.
Interesting.
Right? That's a coach.
If Austin Matthews was 30 and captain, and he's asked the same question, how do you think he answers it?
It's a lot better than that. Really? A lot better than that.
And it's so funny, like what you said, Adam. We probably would have never made anything of that quote.
We talked about
but it meant the world to the guy he was calling out.
As a fan, I didn't view it as him calling out anyone.
Putting myself
in Sheldon Keefe's shoes, I could see how he would think that was pointed.
Well, and maybe Sheldon Keefe's probably looking at this, and I think, Jesse, you're right. Or sorry, Steve, you're right in the sense that it's like, no, we don't play one or the other. It's one leads to the other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the Stanley Cup habits and all of that, I do find it, I wonder if as a coach you do this. Because the whole thing with coaching, I guess, at this level is you're not teaching these guys much, right? It's like, do this.
That was something we really saw. Like,
right.
The skills coaches, yeah, you work on your game. Like, those guys do that individually. Like, if you're a hockey player, you're always trying to get better. But as a coach at this level, you don't need to teach a guy anything. You're a world-class athlete. It's about getting you motivated and doing the right things in the right situations.
That so next generation game against Carolina a couple years ago, the spin pass Austin did to Mitch, that wasn't a set play. They didn't do that in practice.
No,
right?
There are like set plays. They exist, but they're there just for formulaic purposes to keep you in line.
I just found it. I thought maybe Sheldon was looking for if you lose, right? Especially if you lose the first game and it's against the best player in the world, it's a big night. COVID's happened. All of that. Is Sheldon Keefe looking for something to go flag in the earth? And does Austin inadvertently give him an opportunity to say flag in the earth, best player on the team, probably the second or third best player in the league, saying, I think we played a little too much defense for a team known not to play great defense.
Yeah. This is,
I think that is like, that's a perfect opportunity for a coach to go, I don't think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think as a coach, you look for those opportunities.
Yes. Yes.
That's an opportunity for you to be the coach, right? Like, oh,
that's
God,
what
a freebie. Thank you for this. Thank you. He handed him a meal, and Sheldon ate it.
Now, let me ask you this. I guess you don't get to be a coach at that level and be intimidated by this, but are you not slightly intimidated by walking up to probably the best goal, what could be the best goal scorer of our generation if he continues on this track, and the best player on your team, and saying, hey, you know that nefarious sentence that nobody paid attention to? Didn't like that.
You answered it when you started the question.
You don't get to this level of intimidated.
Okay. That guy's not scared of anything.
All right.
These hockey guys, like, I'm going to be here longer than you.
I think
that's kind of the attitude.
Well, no,
you go
I think Matthews might feel that way, but like, does the coach feel that way? That's what I'm saying. From the coach's perspective, you're not a little intimidated?
No.
No.
You got to be wired different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, that's why we're not coaching in the National Hockey.
That's your job.
That's one of many reasons, by
the way. Your job is to tell the $11 million guy to play defense. That's why we give you money, Sheldon. Go do it.
I think winning and miles earn you respect in the National Hockey League, and Austin doesn't have a lot of either.
Interesting.
For a guy who just won the Rocket, I know.
Yeah.
He could go down as the best Leaf in history.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done. He's got, what is it, five seasons?
Got work to do.
Under his belt, and no playoff series wins.
How much time do we have, Jess?
You got about 10 minutes left.
Okay, so we got to talk about a couple more things here. First off, I love the fact that they, when they introduce the main characters in this story, which is what they're doing in this episode, clearly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Austin's got to be one of them. How do they do that? His parents. And so much about how we were introduced to him was through his parents as well. He wasn't an overly chatty guy, but he seemed like he had a personality. But the, you know, his heritage, you know, where his mom is from, and him, his mom and dad, you know, talking about the fact that she barely spoke any English and he barely spoke any Spanish, and but they still fell in love. And they started off by, oh yeah, they're at a sniper range in Arizona, and they're just shooting stuff together as a couple, as couples do. And I thought, I'm like, how characterizing and perfect and so outside of what Toronto is. And that's what they're trying to do, right? They're trying to show this guy comes out of Arizona and like his parents didn't even really want him to play hockey, right? They were like, oh, really? You sure you don't want to play football or something else?
Yeah. I like, how they were like, oh, okay.
Okay, I guess. And like,
I like the camcorder.
Yes. Yes. And like world-class hockey player comes from a family that's like, you have to? Is
sure.
that the sport? You want to baseball?
Ahead.
Anything else? Yeah. I love that. And I just thought it was so great to see them in that. And there's such the one thing we'll say, I mean, there'll be a lot of things we'll say, but like his parents are pretty every time they're on camera, I'm like, I want more of his parents.
Oh yeah, they're adorable.
Like they could do an all or nothing on his parents' reaction to everything happening in the season. I would watch that.
It's such a interesting view as a Canadian. Because it's especially in the GTA, like it's so bad now. Like kids are, they're being scouted at like, you know, Timbits games. Like they're 3 years old.
And they're in development camps at four.
Yeah.
And throughout the summer.
They have
coaches.
Yeah. And the best player in franchise history, potentially, certainly the best goal scorer, is from a family who was like, yeah, okay.
And they
can play hockey.
And yeah, couldn't find real ice to play on. Had to play on synthetic ice.
It's
when he grew up.
I wonder how many rinks exist in the state.
Like, and I wonder how many more will exist because of Austin Matthews.
Oh, many.
That's good. Yeah.
Many. Yeah. So that part I thought was just, you know, whenever his parents are there, I just love them. I absolutely love them.
I like to shut my media brain off and only turn my fan brain on for these things. But the cinematography on the food in her kitchen.
Oh.
Made me ravenous.
And they're talking about how he can't eat the food
it's
that they're making.
Healthy.
And I'm like, I...
and I'm like, and neither can I.
By the way, that food doesn't look all that unhealthy to me. I'm like, what do they eat if they can't... It's like protein and a little bit of salad. And I'm like, he can't eat this. He's got to eat probably just green juice. It's probably that gross green juice, whatever.
Nathan McKinnon calls him and goes, knock it off.
Yeah.
I know you're not my team, but knock it off. Chickpeas.
And now, later on in the episode, you see Sheldon Keefe talking to the veterans a little bit. Mm-hmm. See him talking to John Tavares. And a little bit of, you know, just a little bit of kind of passing things through. And you start to see the makeup of how a hockey team is right? Because, that you know, they talk about what a captain is. And a captain's job is to kind of disseminate information to the players and be the go-between. And I understand now, I think, better than any, why it had to be Morgan Rielly or John Tavares to be the captain, right? Because, I can only project myself onto this, at 23, 24, you're just not fully developed to the level that you are at 30.
And I'm sure a lot of people, and there have been other opportunities throughout this episode, I'm sure, where you go, but Jonathan Toews was 19 or whatever. Think of who he was surrounded by, right? Like there's that famous thing of Brent Seabrook coming over and calming down his captain, right? Like, okay, yeah, you carry the mantle, but it's not just you.
Yeah.
You need more than one captain.
Right. And think about what they used to say about Sidney Crosby, right? You know, when people used to be able to...
That guy had a whack load of captains.
You can look at...
He lived with a captain.
Well, Mario, Mark Recchi, there was a bunch of other... Sergei Gonchar, I think, was on that team, the original team that won the cup. But you used to be able to get under Sidney Crosby's skin if you breathed in his direction. Now, no reaction.
And there was a time where, even though the team was clearly getting better and had the best player in the world, they made a lot of young mistakes.
They did.
When that veteran presence wasn't there. They had to earn their stripes.
They did. They did. And I found the conversation with Jason Spezza interesting as well. And there's a couple of times where you see that, where there's that conversation of, hey, just want to let you know. And there is a point throughout where they say, like, he's like, I can't be the guy that's on him all the time. You have to kind of disseminate some of this information as well.
Right.
And quote unquote, Stanley Cup winning habits are going to be an issue throughout this entire thing, as you'll come to see if you haven't seen all the episodes yet. So, Jesse, how much time we have left?
You got about 2 minutes.
2 minutes. So it sort of ends with kind of a great start with the Leafs. And you realize they were in front pretty much from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And they...
It was a great start, but then he rattles off the list. He says, Mikheyev, Tavares, Kerfoot, Hyman combined for one even strength goal. And Keith was not happy.
No. And then, of course, there's the final where the Senators come back.
Yeah.
Remember that? Where it's a 5-1 game and the Senators come back?
Yeah. It ends in, hey, everything's going great. Everything's going great. Disaster.
Right.
So the arc of the episode is they had a goal and have thus far failed. Because wins and losses in the regular season do not matter. Mm-hmm. It's how the hot dog's made.
Mm-hmm.
And what they discovered by the end of it is they make a bad hot dog.
Well, we'll see that in episode 2. Let's not jump far too ahead.
That was weird.
So
I thought it was great.
So
I thought it was very good.
Why hot
important episode? You know, it's bad hot dog.
Episode 2 of the All or Nothing reaction series for the Steve Nagle podcast will drop tomorrow. Episode 3 the day after, and so on and so on until we get 5 days into this thing. So be on the lookout.
Those.
You got your homework tonight. Watch episode 2 at least. Or watch them all on Amazon Prime. Looking forward to getting into episode 2 because it's the fallout from the Senators disaster.
The Steve Dangle Podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter at Steve_Dangle, at Adam WYLDE, and at Jesse Blake. Connection complete.